beer, 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 beer. It's the final countdown.
Drummer of Dusty Cellars. Taking a long time to get to a punchline that wasn't funny in the first place. It's the final countdown.
Oh, wow. The most accurate description of the show.
Transcendent.
I'm Manus Cronin, and it is an accurate description of one of the two intros today. Joining us this week, as always, peaking in college wouldn't have been quite so sad if it was more of a determinate peak, if you know what I mean. Jack Toner.
Yeah, yeah. If the peak had been more emphasized, had a bit more impact at the peak.
Yeah, you really flattened the curve on your life, you know? Which, fair play to you. I left this next one.
There's
going to
be a second wave. There's going to be a second wave.
There's going to be a second wave of these intros, too. This one is a long one. Just back from Garth Brooks' wedding, where just before the bride entered the church, he announced that he also intended to marry a second woman the next day. He then cancelled both weddings when his first bride objected. It's Gavin Carberry!
Was there a punchline there?
Yeah, Garth Brooks announced concert dates for Ireland, and then he announced extra ones that he had no permission to announce. And then when they wouldn't let him have the extra ones, he cancelled them all.
Yeah.
I thought Jack would get it because you got affected by that. You had tickets, right?
Oh, yeah. Our whole family had tickets. It was going to be us, like 15% of the nation had tickets.
Yeah, it's fucking crazy how many Irish people love Garth Brooks.
Is it crazy, Gav? Or is he really good?
No.
He has,
I can understand Chris Gayle.
That's good. Yeah. Like, Friends in Low Places, like, if you listen to the lyrics, he's an asshole. He shows up in boots to a black tie affair, terrifies the guests by just taking their champagne. Where, I don't know if you've ever been to a black tie affair with champagne, Gavin. It's just on trays. You can have one.
But you don't even steal it.
Yeah. You know? But what about Thunder Rose?
His friends being scaldy.
Man, that's most of what you do.
I'm not bragging. I'm just wallowing. That's a difference.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And plus,
Manus wouldn't write a song about it.
I think that's probably
how he wrote a song about.
I'm starting to think that for Garth Brooks, this is just a good time. But Manus, for you, this is what you call life. Word.
What would you do if Garth Brooks was at? No, that's not going to work.
What would you do if Garth Brooks was at home?
He sold millions, and I did a cover of the four people we're going to get. Oh, look who it bloody is. That's all right. It's all right now. It won't be all right on Thursday morning when I'm frantically trying to edit to where your bit makes any sense. I'll start listening. It's like,
I guess.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like you're... See, when you said, I guess, that kind of means you aren't sorry. You know what I mean?
I mean, there's a 50-50 chance I'm sorry. I was just not sure.
You're not sure how to... You could just pretend to be sorry. I've gotten good at it. People can rarely prove the difference.
James, did you manage to get the beer?
No.
Did you try and get the beer?
James, this is a very on-brand entrance for you.
Work ran over a bit. I didn't have the time to get to the shops. I didn't have a Craft Central order still in the house. Mm. So I didn't actually have any beer at all. Mm. I decided to treat myself to a nice glass of Prosecco.
Okay, sorry, you get an intro. Not having his weak-ass excuses accepted by any of us, James Belfast! There was another one that doesn't really work as an intro. It's just however you feel about anti-vaccine or anti-mask, you can at least accept that both positions should be dichotomous. Like, you shouldn't get... Like, if I'm anti-vaccine, why am I also anti-mask?
Yeah, yeah.
Wouldn't I be like, vaccines are too dangerous, better wear a mask?
Or, mask is too stifling. They're trying to control me. I'll take the vaccine. Yeah, you know what? I'm starting to think that they haven't really thought through this anti-mask movement. Anti-mask movement actually freaks my nut more than the anti-vax movement.
Did you... I was in town on Saturday and there was a sizable anti-mask protest. I'm talking thousands of people.
That's fucking terrifying.
Yeah, we were in Georgia Street Arcade and we heard just a generic ruckus, and I was like, look, I ain't never have a bad time chasing no ruckus. So we went over to see what all the ruckus was about. And it turns out it was a load of people like making baaing noises at all of the mask wearing folks nearby.
Well, at least they're pro sheep. That much is consistent.
Yeah, probably because they have sex with all of them.
Yeah.
Not all of them.
Never with a condom.
They cannot maintain an erection to have sex with all of the sheep. They're spent after like two goes around. I have a theory, because like there'd be nuts people no matter what. I can't help but think the government didn't help themselves early on when they were saying like the mask didn't work.
Yeah. Yeah.
I tried to put myself in the because you're always going to have a nutcase who'll object to something. But I'm trying to put myself in the brain of a perhaps slightly dim but otherwise well-intentioned person who has bought hook, line, and sinker what the government said. Probably almost derisively laughed at all of their friends when they were like, "No, they really do." It's like, well, I think I'll take what the WHO has to say above you.
Yeah, and then
being a touch unwilling to walk that back afterwards. Although I doubt those people are out on the streets. I'd say they're more just...
They're in the pubs.
They're in the anti-mask Facebook group or something. They're probably not actually out there.
My favorite thing...
The idea that someone was kind of caught, like that someone took the first advice about not wearing masks and then just decided to stick in their position might be true. Because there is like a shame in changing your position based on new evidence, which there really should not be.
But everyone's changed their position on it. We all have learned new things. It's an emerging problem.
Well, they then came out and lied a second time when they said, oh, well, we've just now discovered that masks might help. You've just discovered it, did you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because the new evidence suggests we were never wrong.
Yeah.
So, look, I don't think that would have necessarily mattered or helped, but... It's probably not good policy. Save your lies. Can you all hear me?
Oh yeah, we can hear you. Oh. We're saving our lives.
Yeah. We're saving our lives.
So you can't. You know what? Let's just skip on by that one.
can I just say my favorite thing about the protest? And I know that there's a beer to get to, so we'll get to it. Is that, look, I can understand if somebody wants to make an argument that governments shouldn't be able to tell you what to do and they shouldn't be able to arrest you if you don't do it in some cases. That's at least an argument you can have. Mm. My favorite sign at the march was someone who was just all about whatever was going, proudly walking down Dame Street, declaring, "Bitcoin is love."
Well, no, Jack.
Show me where they're wrong, Jack. Show me where they're wrong.
At least they're making... That's a hypothesis, right? At least they're making a claim. You know, they're making a testable hypothesis or a testable observation. We can find out if Bitcoin equals love. We'll get that machine that Professor Frink had to get the ingredient for the flaming Homer.
Wow. Look, mixed in amongst all the Google is lying to you and all the government is lying to you and all the 5G folks, it was just really nice to see.
And RTE is the virus.
RTE is the virus. There's a difference.
Yeah. Yeah, in a more real way, the virus is the virus.
RTE is like some sort of metaphorical parasite.
RTE is just a bad television station that's terrible at its job. It's not a virus.
Yeah, why can't we just say that?
Well, I mean, you had a similar thing on a very well-intentioned thing of like racism's the only virus we need to worry about. We need to worry about racism. But because of what it is, we don't need to call it something else.
Yeah.
You could say like coronavirus is the real racism. It's like, we're just going things sense. Backwards. Both could be problems. There could be more than one problem. Anyway, in summary,
you really confused me.
Look, in summary, Bitcoin is love.
Not much I can get down with. Bitcoin.
All Bitcoin is love, but not all love is Bitcoin. As anyone who's ever enjoyed a hand job will tell you. That would have been better as an intro, wouldn't it? But then we needed to have your setup, Jack, so I don't know.
You're right, I should have gotten this out of the way before the show.
I also love the phrasing of that. There I was, enjoying a handjob.
any point that gets made that end with, as anyone who's ever enjoyed a handjob will tell you. Like, now you're speaking my language.
Look, it was certainly love, but it wasn't Bitcoin. Although that was what I paid for it with.
Love becomes Bitcoin?
Yeah, you know what? I need to see what the boys in the lab have to say about this. We'll be back to it next week.
All right.
We do have a beard. You know what I just realized? I don't have it. That's not Althea.
You got full sale.
What is it?
Yeah, it's full sale.
Yeah, they got the same color label. It's almost indistinguishable.
Ah, that's... Well, full sale is a nice time. I'm not annoyed that I have to drink it, but we've already had it.
So is it just me and Gav with the good shit?
It would seem to be. I couldn't... It's amazing we haven't had Althea before, because it's...
Yeah.
It's around.
Because I've drank so much of it. Mostly for being in Galway
so
Bay.
So much beer.
Bars.
That's true.
So much.
So sorry to go away that we had Dutch Gold before we had Althea, but there you go. That's life.
Now, Gav, you've gone for the can.
But I don't think... I would rarely buy Althea in a can, but when you're settling in somewhere like the beer market or against the grain, you'd go for the Althea because it's slightly less, slightly lower.
Yeah, there's a few of those. That's definitely what it's for. I don't really know what I want. I don't really want to drop a 12% down my neck just yet. Let's have an Althea. Yeah.
Yeah, start me off with an Althea.
So I'll let the children who filled out their application forms in full talk about this one.
Fucked mine up and I poured it and it's 30% head. Sounds like my weekend, am I right, fellas?
I don't know how that relates to Bitcoin, but we will find out.
I wouldn't know, Jack wasn't there.
Well, it's on you for not tuning into the live stream, Gavin. This OnlyFans is going through the roof.
Yeah, I have this. It's a little bit... Mine's a bit warm, so I think it could afford to be a little bit colder just to take a couple of the kind of sharper edges off it. But it's a really nice beer. It's a pale ale, which is a style I'm more getting used to.
Yeah.
And it's only taken me 5 years. But it's hoppy. It's a little bit fruity. It is punchy. Hoppy, fruity, punchy, like a gay kangaroo. I quite like it. I don't know that it stands out, you know, which is what makes it that perfect. Oh, well, I'm deciding what I'll really have. I'll have an Althea, you know? So, like, it might be a nice palate cleanser or something just because it doesn't smack you in the face with flavour. But it's nice. It's just a well-made, well-balanced beer.
Where does it sit strength-wise?
4.8.
I actually thought it was a bit lower percentage than it is, but 4.8, and you kind of can't taste it, just tastes like a beer.
Yeah, see, there you go. Plus, we think of 4.8 as being stronger than it is because all of our beers are like 4.3, like a lot of the time. And that's a tax thing, I believe. Because, like, even like the macros, we don't drink the beer that they sell in America or whatever. Like, Budweiser's 5% in America, and so it's.
Yeah. They purposefully. Get it to a lower percentage because we have weird tax laws around every single drink.
Yeah, which is, you know, I blame everyone except me for that problem. I voted for Kodos. Jack, what do you think of Althea?
Frankly, if I could get to it, I could tell you.
That's not actually, letting up either, it's growing.
No, it's frankly, I don't know what the glass is doing to it or what I have done to it, but the head is getting worse.
Yeah, it is. Why is it coming out of the glass?
I don't know. I don't know. It's got a little.
You messed this up, Jack.
I've made a right.
You messed this up in a big way.
I've made a right fuck of this. All right, I'm just going to go for it. I'm just going to go for it. This is going to be adorable.
I think I'm going to do a Belgian dip.
You can't see it on my nose, but I can feel it there very much.
It being in your mustache is giving me flat. Giving me flashbacks to my father drinking Guinness and getting Guinness in his mustache and then supping it out of the mustache afterwards. You know, not wanting to waste any.
Familiar with that.
Waste not, want not. Especially when it comes to bits of pint in your beard.
Yeah, that's the difference. You'd be waking up with a real hangover going, I should have wiped instead of drank.
It was that last suck on my stash that did it.
Yeah.
Suffering succotash, that's what that means.
Did you get any sort of flavour out of that, or is he just getting bulbs?
Yeah, that's really tasty beer. It's a little, there's something that there's one little piece of it that I don't like, and I can't put my finger on what it is, but I'll keep an eye on it as we drink. There's almost like a staleness. A feetiness to it, you know?
Any of our listeners who enjoy the soap in your bruise joke, insert it mentally here. I don't have the energy to do it right now.
All right, let's...
I wonder, do we need to, go back to some pale ales we've had before? Because I think we just shat on them for 2 or 3 years straight, and it might have been us.
Yeah, from my experience this year, it was definitely us. Pale ales are delicious, and I was wrong.
Yeah, I think we were just thinking that they should be what IPAs are, and it's they aren't. They're similar enough to where I can see why you'd think, oh, that's an IPA, but it's not right. Whereas actually, it's just that's what it's supposed to taste like. Although that's what someone who made a bad beer would also say. So I don't know. I don't know. Yeah. You're enjoying your Seckers, James? That's short for Prosecco.
Real treat that tastes like. Well, it tastes like not quite having a beer. There's just not enough of it, really, to...
No.
Wait, did you have Prosecco already opened, or did you open a bottle of Prosecco for this podcast? Because
I used the Prosecco tap in my kitchen.
Oh, yeah.
It's all right. It's all right, Gav. We're going to see that at the housewarming party he's going to have 3 years ago. And you're getting that from me! You're getting that from me, James! I'm the worst one.
It is true. You are the worst one. You said there wasn't enough of it, James. Were you not in control of how much of it went in the glass?
No, but I went for a small glass because I thought it looked fun. But
it does look fun.
I could have gone for a pint of the stuff, which may have, in hindsight, been better. But
very Churchillian of you. That's what he would drink with meals, a pint of champagne.
Is that true?
Yeah. You can find a record of what he drank every day. It's insane.
Yeah, I knew he drank a lot, but a pint of champagne seems weirdly...
They used to come in pint
bottles. It just
seems
strange.
He used to come in a pint... he didn't drink a pint out of a pint glass. He'd just keep topping up his...
Oh, okay, yeah.
There's a no longer popular size of champagne bottle that was about a pint.
That's only 5:30, so that's actually less than a bottle of wine, you know?
Yeah, but you have one with lunch.
Yeah, but it's unfortunately, I think the small ones are just called things like half or quarter bottles. It's only when you get into the bigger sizes that champagne bottles get the really ridiculous names. They're all named after biblical kings, because why not, I guess.
Really? I know a magnum is 2 liters or 3, is it?
Magnum is a chocolate coated ice cream.
It's 1.5 liters.
Sorry, yes, magnum is chocolate.
1.5.
It's 5 liters.
Yeah, or two regular bottles. But then you have things called Balthazars and Nebuchadnezzars.
There is a Nebuchadnezzar. I knew I'd seen that somewhere. I could go for a Balthazar of champagne. I don't think I could drink it all on my own, but that's what friends are for, eh?
That's 12 liters of Balthazar.
Oh, well, then I could drink it all by myself. Sorry, I take it back. You can't have it.
Go up to the bar. Can I get a Balthazar champagne? And anybody else want a Balthazar champagne?
A quick Balthazar.
Do it around. You get me the next one.
You're having a Methuselah, are you? What a pansy.
that biblical king Methuselah. I don't know anything about Methuselah, actually, other than he was old.
Yeah, that's the only thing I know about him, which would suit champagne, because champagne is old.
Yeah, it is old. Champagne's old.
It's old grapes.
It's the grapes. If they were grapes, they'd be gone off by now.
But thankfully they turned themselves into champagne. Someone used a leaf stone on them and they evolved.
Into champagne. Had they used a fire stone, of course, it would have evolved into one of Flareon, actually. All the other ones are still...
Yeah, Flareon, yeah.
That's interesting. All the different sizes of champagne bottles. Gavin, you were in
Lambay Island. Haven't even heard of it.
Where is it?
Haven't even heard of it? Yeah. Neither had I. Jack said that he had vaguely heard of it. James, I don't know, had you heard of Lambay Island?
I don't think so.
No. Well, it is an island off the coast of Malahide. So, like, from most of Dublin, you can't see it because the Head of Howth blocks it. But as soon as you go past the Head of Howth, you can see it right there. And, yeah, it's owned by the Barings family from Barings Bank. And, yeah, they've recently started doing this thing where you can essentially rent it out. So a friend of mine organized this kind of fully catered thing. You stay in this like amazing house that they built for like the cousins to stay. There's a castle there. Like it's about a mile across. So you can walk around the whole thing in an afternoon. And yeah, one of the granddaughters of the person who bought, great granddaughters of the person who bought it, runs it with her boyfriend and a few friends. And it's just amazing. It's like, I think you can go out, the way we did it was kind of fully inclusive. So you just have to bring like your drink essentially and everything else is kind of covered. And like,
do you need to get a boat?
That was kind of a, yeah, you had to get a boat from Malahide. It was like 20 minutes from Malahide. And like it because it's overseas and it's an island, and like the shape of it means it has its own like little microclimate, so it doesn't rain as much there. It gets much like the sun is there much more often than it would be in Dublin. Nice. And it is amazing that there's something like that so close. Normally you have to go down to like somewhere in Wexford or Waterford or out west to get somewhere that feels that remote and kind of bucolic and perfect. But it's amazing to be there and then to just look across the sea and be like, oh wait, no, there's Dublin right there. It's mad that I can be here and it's right there. But like as a weekend away, it was amazing, and I would really recommend it to everybody.
This is dope. I'm kind of creeping on it right now. Like, what? So there's a couple of buildings on the island. There's the castle, there's the White House, and there's the cottage. Where were you guys?
We were in the White House.
Good look. It's a good look.
Donald Trump, yeah. I'd say probably,
yeah. I think the cottages are all self-catering, and they're a bit cheaper. And the White House is... is not, so it's a little bit more expensive.
Man, this is wild. There's like fucking puffins and shit.
There's puffins. There wasn't puffins there. The puffins have all gone somewhere else. But there's wallabies.
There's wallabies.
Because the original owner of the island, well, not the original owner. The original owner wouldn't have been English. The person who bought the island at the turn of the century had two pet wallabies that he like loved, and then Dublin Zoo were like, "Fuck, man. We bought 10 wallabies and now there's 50 wallabies. Does anybody want 40 wallabies?" And he was like, "I'll have 40 wallabies." And now there's hundreds of wallabies on this island.
Wow. So when we say something is happening like rabbits, it's actually happening like wallabies.
Wow. Yeah.
If you'd asked me if there was an island with wallabies on it in Ireland, I'd have said, in fact, if you told me about this with no context, I'd have been like, no, there isn't.
Yeah. But yeah, there's wallabies. There's also seals. So like we were in the house and like you just go for like a 1 minute walk and you're at this like really cool beach that's really enclosed. So you go for a swim and then a seal will pop its head up and just like be like, "Hey, what's going on over here?" And then swim away. And then that happened about 10 times. Like there's tons of seals there as well because it's outside of any shipping routes. And yeah, it's really, really cool. Amazing that like something like that is so close to Dublin, and that's you can just essentially rent an island.
That is dope. So how many other people were there?
There was 12 of us in total.
But that you were the only people on the island, or were there other groups?
Us? No. Our group was the only group on the island, and then the other four people were like staff, like a shepherd. A cook, and then the kind of boyfriend and girlfriend
you, there was,
the whole thing.
Wow, so including you, there was two cooks on the island.
A
Well, they're famous for their broth, of course.
Famous.
Man, this
they had any more than that.
Go on, give me the number. How much did this fucking run you?
Per person, it was €420 for a weekend, which, I'm not going to lie, is a fucking lot.
That's a spenny weekend.
Now we spent that on a weekend.
It's not.
Before.
Sorry, because I went out for fucking drinks from my girlfriend's birthday, and I spent almost as much money just covering fucking other people at the bar. So actually, we would have had a much better time if we just gone to Lambay Island.
It is loads, but if you were going to spend that money on something, it is better to do it on something like that as opposed to I just got a bit loose with the credit card at the bar, like, you know.
As I was transferring the money to my friend, I was like, fuck, this is so much, I can't afford this. But then when you get there, there's no expenses because everything is kind of catered and you bring your own drink. And it was worth every penny. Just like, I've never had a more relaxing weekend. And at the same time, we got fucking Liddy out of the city. Great time.
You know what I think of it? I spent that in Sligo. Definitely I spent that. Include the hotel, I definitely spent that for the Sligo weekend. More than that.
You probably had a worse time.
Oh, I'm almost certain I did. I mean, obviously Michelle doesn't listen to this, but if she did, I would say at this point, I had the best time of my life. And
No possible combination of people or things or cooks on islands could have possibly made it better
than that. But I definitely spent more than that. Because when you don't go self-catering in Ireland, fucking you're eating in restaurants 3 meals a day.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. Fuck,
Ireland. And Irish restaurants are a rip-off compared to, like, you know, obviously they're not a rip-off because, you know, it's just the cost of living. But, if you were to go to Spain and spend the same amount that you spend in Irish restaurants, you would have the best meal of your life.
Not a rip-off, just one of the terms and conditions of living in Ireland. I cancelled my TV license when that ad came on. It annoyed me. Now, cancelling your TV license doesn't get you your money back. It just means you have to buy another one, so...
you could live without one. That's just one of the terms and conditions of living in Ireland.
Yeah, that's true, I guess. But then I'd have to tell people every 5 minutes that I don't have a TV.
I actually don't have a TV.
Oh, yeah. That's the other tax you pay. If you don't have a TV, you do have to tell everyone.
Guys, what were the coronavirus numbers today? Just because I don't have a TV, you know, so I couldn't see them. Oh, what colour is Katrina Perry's hair again? Like, I don't know, because unfortunately I don't have a TV, you know, but if any of you guys could look at your TV and then relay back to me on the telephone.
One of the 70 books I read this year didn't actually... What are you who watches?
And on Twitter, it's like, I just can't wait to get back in a pub, sit in a quiet corner with a pint and a book. It's like, really? All 10,000 of you can't wait to do that? I've been in a lot of pubs, and there might be one person doing that in a pub.
Yeah.
Also, of all the things you can do in a pub, surely that defeats the purpose of it the most. That's the one you can most do at home.
Yeah. I can't wait to be back in a pub and drink too many with people I like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Call me a weirdo.
I can't wait to
get riggedy wrecked with my friends.
I can't wait to make plans to go on holidays with a man I met 2 minutes ago. Like, that's what I miss. because it's great. You can it's very affordable when you consider, and it's an island, and you go on the boat, and Lambay Island will go, you know?
guys, by the time we're recording the next episode, pubs across the nation will have their doors open for business.
Not here, they won't.
It seeming like Dublin might be a step above everyone else because our cases are so big.
No way. I just lost a bet to my mum.
And the cases that we have are big. I didn't misspeak.
Yeah, a lot of fat folks getting the roving.
A lot of big, a lot of chunky boys who are the best.
Mm-hmm. We love our chunky boys.
Now, I just lost a bet to my mum, if that is true, because my mum was like, they're just saying that, Jack, so they can let rural Ireland get on with living their drink-filled lives until all of us city folk deal with our city problem. And I'm like, yeah, that's actually probably true.
There's a narrative that Dublin doesn't care about rural Ireland, and it's largely true, but the corollary never gets said, which is also, I've been in rural Ireland a lot. They don't, actively don't like Dublin.
And no, for them, I get the feeling from talking to people from the country, it's less apathy and more hatred.
Yeah, like Ireland, like Dublin treats anywhere that's not Dublin with a sense of just vague dismissal. I genuinely don't care, and that's not malicious, unless it's got like, unless it's some sort of island with puffins or somewhere where they serve rock shore right out of the streams. But
no wonder you'd never go there. It's archway for me or nothing.
Well, I, sir, will be enjoying a taste of the West. The rural Irish folks are like, doing a lot of talking about Dublin. It's like the Trinity UCD thing.
Yeah.
And I won't explain that anymore.
It's funny when someone from UCD would be like, oh, so posh in Trinity. And then they're going, maybe there was a point when that was necessarily true, but like,
you could go there.
It's all just the CAO.
We could all go there. The price is the same.
I guess
that was true in 1950, probably, but like, I'm not saying there's not a bunch of posh boys in Trinity. I'm just saying they are also in UCD. I've been to both.
Are they different kinds of posh boys, though?
Slightly. The money's a little newer.
You don't have people. You don't have James, essentially.
There's less English posh boys. That's for sure.
Team England in UCD.
Team England doesn't exist in the same way. But there's every bit as many like Black Rock boys and like Gonzaga boys and the serial offenders. You know. I always found it a really interesting insult for. It's not an interesting insult for anyone because. For some people, that would be true. It's like you encounter more posh people than they do in their daily life. But if the person goes to UCD, it just doesn't.
It doesn't apply. Yeah.
But then we also like they're like I used to hear people making like famine jokes about UCD, and it's like again maybe at some point, but we're all Irish. it's all fun and games.
I had a great
except in UCD where nothing is fun.
But they have that whole sports center.
No, I'm sure UCD is tremendous fun. I just went there as an adult with a job. So, like, I didn't get to enjoy
That's going to change your...
Ideal. I had a great little, retroactive ego-boosting moment. So, when I went to college, it was the... My course was one of the lowest points to get into Trinity College. Because its failure rate was, 60%. So... Not a lot of people wanted to do the course. This year, EMSIS was a 620-point course.
What?
Jack, they should. 16, yeah.
I feel like you should do a public service and just, do an interview and, I went to EMSIS and watched the points drop by about 100.
Look, it would be better for everyone. We got all these fucking book-smart nerds coming in, fucking up the whole vibe of the course. We got a lot of theater graduates out of that science and I do that technology and statistics course.
I guess I am. I'm gonna have to make this point. It's gonna have to be me. None of you are gonna do it, Jack. Yeah. This isn't a retroactive anything. You've been bragging about how hard your course was since I've known you.
I never bragged about how hard the course was. I bragged about how hard other people found it. I found it easy.
Sorry, I forgot. Yeah, you know, a lot of people say my course is difficult, but it really isn't.
I didn't find it to be that at all. No, I didn't. I didn't repeat a single exam. I was mad, actually, really, how that didn't happen. Yeah, I must be. but I probably got the lowest number of leaving cert points in this entire group.
Oh, no, you didn't get less than me. No way. So I did the actual lowest points you could do in Trinity, so there you go.
Oh, is that what the all you got?
Technically, I got zero leaving cert
points. Yeah, James got zero.
That's true.
You're right, James failed leaving.
Did they convert your like A levels into Leaving Cert, or did they just
they convert your A level grades?
All right, so you did. You think that's even true? Perfidious Albion again, coming over and taking our points. But look, what can we say?
What can we say?
Jack, you were something about Maz or something. There was
It was me. It was my girlfriend's birthday. We went camping. Nowhere near as nice as where Gavin went. We went to Armagh.
Oh yeah, nowhere near as nice as anywhere.
You guys share
Armagh's the worst place.
Yeah, it's weird. We're actually siblings, so it's technically an incestuous relationship. But you know, when the fucking is good, look, how could something this right be objectively wrong?
Oh jeez. So you were in Armagh.
Yeah, so I was in all of Armagh's, and yeah, just went nice camping. Here's my main takeaway from Armagh. Not a lot going on in Armagh.
Is Lurgan in Armagh?
Lurgan is, yes. I think it is technically in Armagh. Now, we weren't there for very long, so what we got to do was have dinner, knock into the cathedral in Armagh for just before a mass kicked off, so we got in and out pretty quick, and then went to Loch Ness the next morning. And we're like, "Do you want to? Are we done? I think we've seen it." Anywhere else is like 90 minutes away from home, and it's like midday on a Sunday.
Yeah, that's probably the move. What level of camping were you doing? Like, were you pooping indoors, or were you?
Nah, we were peak level glamping. We stayed in this like yurt, like dome yurt style thing. It had like electricity and a heater and a bed with a mattress and everything. We made
so
a little
to a
fire.
Hotel in
yeah. Went to a hotel in our no, because there was no other rooms attached to our room. We got a house in our mat.
You got a house in Armagh, yeah. You got a bungalow.
We got a studio bungalow in Armagh.
Does a yurt have a hole in the roof, like in the middle?
Yes, it does. Yeah, so it has. And these had these actually had chimneys. So actually, we actually weren't in a yurt. We were actually in what's called a geodesic dome.
Ah, that emphasis to me seems like a good idea now.
Yeah, I didn't know what that meant. I still don't. And all the time I was there, I really could have looked it up and chose not to. But it was nice to be in some nature. But yeah, real takeaway here is that there's just not a lot of doings. I really wish I'd gone to Lambay Island instead.
Yeah.
That would have rented out, unfortunately.
We actually tried to go to Lambay Island, but it was all full up.
It was rented out by a bunch of numpties.
Yeah. although, at the end of our stay in Lambay Island, there was this book that all of the guests signed, and at the top of it, the owner Millie puts her like description of the group and like how good a time she had at the top, and she described us as we had this group of young entrepreneurs and creatives, which I would say no one in the group fitted. No, maybe there was one who could be described as a creative, but not a single entrepreneur or other creative in the group.
Brilliant.
I can.
I didn't want to be like people with normal jobs came here.
I'm so curious who their usual market is that you guys seem entrepreneurial by comparison.
Yeah, I know.
Anti-vaxxers normally is who they have.
They said the normal group is in their like 50s. So like I think we were just younger than the other groups.
Young professionals.
That's all young people do.
They probably work with computers.
Yeah. When I lived with someone who did drama and theatre studies in Trinity, she came over to do a master's in drama and stayed with us. And we like had our jobs. I was working for ITV, friend was working for Sky, another friend was working for the like Press Complaints Commission, one was working for Bloomberg, etc. Blah, blah, blah. And then when asked what her housemates did for a living, she said, business. They do business.
Well, I mean, I know where you all work, but I have no idea what any of you do. No.
Yeah, I don't know what Jack does. He's a trans monster.
Don't know what Jack does.
That's fairly obvious. I don't know what you do, Matt.
Oh yeah, again, I'm a bit of a transponster as well. I'm in one of those jobs, and it's a potential topic for another day. In that, like, markets are very good at rewarding one type of employment and very bad at figuring out the value of another. I'm in the type that they're quite good at figuring out, because it's like, it's very, very big deal if I don't do my job.
Yeah.
It's a very not big deal if nobody does my job.
Okay.
Like, the company's fucked if I don't do it, but if it just stopped happening, it wouldn't matter.
If the company didn't exist, it would be fine.
Yeah, as opposed to, say, someone working in a care home, where not that much of a problem if somebody can't, if an individual person doesn't do it, and a huge problem if nobody does it. Like,
yeah, you know what I mean?
And we're very good at rewarding the other one, but we can't figure out how to, like, assess the value properly. We try to do it with minimum wage, but I don't think that's the best way to do it, because like tenner an hour is like loads for one job and a perfectly acceptable minimum wage. And like completely unacceptable for another, in terms of how important it is that it get done.
Yeah.
That's finding a solution for that is definitely a job for us. Don't get me wrong. It's a job for us to find that out.
But oh, it is. Take, yeah. That's what this podcast has been about the whole time. I'm glad we finally got to it. Sorry about the preamble, guys.
Yeah. It'll take more than the 7 minutes that we have left to figure out that solution.
No. Well, yeah, it'll take more than 7 minutes to find out a good solution. We can get to multiple bad ones. Way less time.
We're just
if I should say, a lot of my job is going through reports, different versions of the same one that different units in the building have compiled, and figuring out where they're wrong, and compiling a master one. Doesn't that seem like if nobody did that, it wouldn't matter? And there's loads of other parts of it that are like that. But if I don't do it, my boss gets in a lot of trouble. So it's really important that, right. Let's just get to the beer so we still can. There's only two of you to actually give a review. Any change in your mind since you first tasted it?
For me, no. It's tasty. It's nice. It's exactly what we described it as before. It's the deciding beer. It's the beer you have while you're deciding what else to have. That's not to say that it's not tasty. That's not to say that it's not interesting in its own regard. But I think that there are more interesting beers out there, and this is just standard. And I'm delighted that the standard is very high. But it's never gonna excite me. I'm gonna give it a 7.
Gav has really nailed it with that. That's quite a nice line. This is the standard, and we're all lucky that standard is quite high. It's very tasty. There's not a damn thing wrong with it. I'm not a huge fan of this just by default. If I'm thinking, give me a stout, and then I'll get something a little wilder. I'll get like a sour or something. But this is perfectly good at what it is. And better than most pale ales, but maybe I'm on the same wave as everybody else, and I've just not known what that is for the last 3 years. I am going to join you at a 7, Gavin.
So score of 14, final countdown score of 7. How was your full sale, man?
Okay, my internet connection's in the shit. Sorry, my full sale?
Yeah. How was it?
Yeah, it's pretty good. Full sale is a good beer. There's no point really reviewing it. We've reviewed it at least once before. 5.8% ABV. It's nice. Like it's probably the other one you're going to get in the similar circumstances in a Galway Bay pub or whatever. But I rarely ever pick it up out of the off license. So, and there's reasons for that. But it has its place and it's good. It's a nice beer.
Very nice.
What type of Prosecco are you drinking, James?
I don't even know.
You lunatic.
Normal kind. It's fine. Taste Prosecco.
Yeah, they do. They all taste the same. It's true.
If you want some Prosecco, just grab a bottle of Prosecco. It'll taste like this.
Yeah.
We're better than reviewing Dutch Gold every week. We could review Prosecco every week and just that'd be the review. Yep. Tastes Prosecco. Like it's supposed to.
Yeah, so that's it, baby.
Yeah, that's it. One thing to cheers to, really, and that is to it being not very important if nobody does your job.
To it being not very important if nobody does my job. I've definitely got one of those jobs that's not very important. No.
The Fine Ale Countdown is brought to you by Gavin Carberry, Jack Toner, James Belfast, and Ant-Man is Cronin. Follow us on Twitter at Fail Countdown. Fail Countdown. and email us at fineailcountdown@gmail.com.